Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we're here again after a long week. And, you know, we've been working through the truth and the implications of Psalm 78 since we first started. Last fall, we first started Crosstalk and kind of launched it. And that's been our focus and our theme out of Psalm 78 and really kind of setting the stage, if you will, in the direction for where we want to move with Crosstalk and what we want to talk about. And there are other things that we want to pursue and discuss, but I felt like that really set the stage for us.
Kind of sets a context.
Yeah, and even though we've taken a break during the Christmas holidays and did a couple of things and various things from here on out, that be that as it may, I think we set the stage. And now we want, as we come to the end of Psalm 78, we've been looking at these things, we kind of want to take a final look. Mm-hmm. If you will. We want to, you know, really kind of just do an overview, a flyover, as our pastor always likes to say when he preaches. Right. We want to do a flyover. Right. We want to do a final look at what we've been seeing so that people bear in mind as we go forward. And mm-hmm. and these things stick in their mind and hearts as we go forward. Mm-hmm. And maybe if you just, I think maybe if I could just say this, there's a few things we want to talk about. Actually, about four things we want to talk about. But maybe you would just kind of kick us off here and introduce to us some of these things you want to talk about here.
Well, the one thing that we've mentioned is that we want our heart is that people to have an ear for the truth, mm-hmm. and that that they would have a vision for the next generation. And that they would have a burden that the next generation would have an ear for and a heart for the truth. But one of the things that we've seen is around us is a lot of spiritual devastation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that devastation,
which is easy to get discouraged in that.
It could be. It could look so bad.
Yeah.
That you'd say, "Man, there's no hope."
There's no hope.
And yeah, that could be. And when there's devastation in the culture, and there's devastation in the church. The devastation we see in the culture, I think, is sort of an indication, or at least a warning sign for us, that the church is not what it ought to be. And so we're looking to say, what can we do, you know, mm-hmm. to change this and to see another generation come that has a heart for the truth.
Right. Well, if you look back at everything we've been talking about, there's a lot of things.
Right, we have.
I mean, we could possibly cover them all here. But I think to kind of kick things off here, you know, you talk about the devastation, but that shouldn't keep us down. That shouldn't keep us not focused upon what we should be doing, what we should be pursuing after. And I think really one of the things as you look at Psalm 78 is the importance of seeking a heart change within the people that we seek to invest in.
Right.
You know, Psalm 78 says that they might set their hope in God.
Right.
And in order for them to set their hope in God, there has to be a heart change.
Right.
Within the next generation, within the current generation. If you don't have a heart change, if you don't have a heart for the things that we're talking about, then ultimately you're just going to wash out. You don't really care.
Yeah, hope is a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
It is. And so if our generation, my generation, I'm a baby boomer, and if my generation doesn't get it, if we don't somehow catch this sense of the devastation and then the need for a heart work, then I think we're going to do what we have generally done, and that is maybe attend church and
mm-hmm.
ho-hum. We hear a good message. Boy, the preacher preached a good message this morning.
Right.
We do the stuff, but there's no consistent heart for the truth and to see that truth transferred.
Well, and I think one of the things is we often, and we humans are good at this, and even us Christians, humans, mm-hmm. are good at this,
mm-hmm.
and that is we want to try to do it ourselves.
Right.
And we fail to see the long-range purpose, or actually say the central focus of why we're doing this, in that we're changing our hearts so that they are toward God. It's not about making our lives better. It's not about cleaning up our lives. It's not about, you know, kind of sweeping up the house a little bit and straightening everything in the house so it looks presentable when company comes by, you know?
Jesus talked about that.
Yeah, actually. We're talking about a complete renovation mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. of of a house. We're talking about gutting it out. We're talking about redoing the walls. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a heart change that God works by this, by His Spirit.
Renovation. We'll look at a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a renovation. Yeah. It's a redemptive thing that's taking place because we couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you said that because that's exactly the illustration Jesus used in His ministry when He said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, then he, the unclean spirit, walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. So then He says, well, I'll go back to the house I was in. And He does. When He comes back, He finds it swept and cleaned up. It's all cleaned up, just like you said.
So it didn't do any good.
It's just, yeah. So what does He do? He says, well, here's a good place.
Yeah.
He comes in with seven other spirits worse than Himself. If all we do is sweep up the house, yeah, we're going to have worse devastation than we had in the first place.
Yeah.
If there's not genuine spiritual renovation, and that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're looking to God for, actually.
Right, and I think the psalmist hits that when he says that they might set their hope in God.
Right.
There's this central focus here. There's this idea of their heart has changed, and now they're looking to Christ. You know, in the New Testament, we're looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
Well, and what's the alternative? Verse 8 tells us what the alternative is.
Right.
And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright.
Right. And where does that rebellion come from? It comes from the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, do we want another generation just like us?
Right.
Or do we want another generation that, because they won't be just like us. They'll be far worse than us.
So we look at this heart change. And that's something we focused on greatly, I think, throughout our look at Psalm 78 in the last 6 months or so. And but now, if we're going to have a heart change, something has to be communicated. Something has to be contrasted with where we currently are in our lives. Okay, and I think we've talked about this a lot. And this, and what it is the truth has to be communicated. And in Psalm 78, there's that phrase that says, "We will not hide them."
Right.
Okay, we're not going to hide what? We're not going to hide the truth, right, the things that we hold so dear. So not only, I mean, you don't just have a heart change. It doesn't just happen. Something has to be planted. I mean, Paul hits on this in Romans 10 when he says, you know, how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to know that? We, as parents, as pastors, as the people of God, we are preachers and proclaimers of the truth all the time.
And he talked about the process. We talked to the Corinthians. Peter planted, Apollos watered, and I watered, and God gave the increase. So there's this process of planting truth, preaching truth, establishing truth, looking to the truth, illustrating truth again and again, and so that people see the truth as contrasted with the lie.
Right, and I think we talked about that just a while back when we talked about the idea that we can't just partially do it. It's not just a part-time job.
Right.
It's a full-time job.
This is life.
This is life. We're communicating the truth to the next generation. We're communicating truth in our own life. Because it's interesting, I've been doing a study, getting ready to speak at the Family Leadership Conference that's coming up this weekend, actually, out in Tampa. And we're going to be speaking on the absolute importance of doctrine. And it's so interesting that the passage that I'm dealing with has Timothy there, and Paul is encouraging Timothy, you speak the truth in your heart. Not only have you been trained, but you need to be training yourself.
Right.
That word gymnasium that we get out of there. Mm-hmm. You need to be training yourself in the things of God so that you may be an example of youth.
Yeah.
In word and deed and in love before his congregation.
Right.
For the people that God had placed underneath him.
Paul did not intend. Paul was busy investing himself in the next generation.
Right.
And he intended for those he trained to do the same thing. Yeah. Timothy and Titus to do the same thing.
You just see this thing that just keeps multiplying on and on. So we have the heart change, but we know the heart cannot be changed without the truth of God being planted within our hearts. But then there's even something that we have to even go a step further. And is we can preach the truth, but unless the Spirit of God moves, it's not going to happen. And I think, and I drive this home when I'm doing missions trips and training young people and going out and teaching. I say, people, you can only teach truth. You cannot drive someone to salvation.
Right.
Only the Spirit of God can work and renew in their life. And people forget that. They take on a responsibility that is not theirs.
Well, it's like that quote I like to give from a pastor of the past. He said, I can preach truth, but only the Spirit of God can impart truth.
Right.
That's where we come up against the wall. We can do a lot of stuff, preach a lot of sermons, have a lot of conferences. And one of the things we've talked about in Vision for Living in our family is that we just don't want to just hold conferences.
Right.
We don't want to just have meetings. We don't want to just do stuff. And if the Spirit of God doesn't do something, doesn't work upon the hearts of men, in our own hearts, then it's not going to happen. Right. And I thought, if we go to the end, we haven't dealt much going right. farther. Actually, Psalm 78 illustrates a lot of what's in the first verses. But in verse 65, the writer says, "Then the Lord awoke as one out of sleep, like a mighty man who shouts by reason of wine."
Right.
Now, the psalmist didn't believe any more than you or I do right. that God sleeps. But he's given an illustration. It's like God's been asleep and suddenly he woke up. Like you woke him up. Brah! He's now... And that's... We want the Spirit of God to... move to work. You know, if we look around us at the devastation both in the church and in our surroundings, then we would say, what happened to God?
It's going to be very easy to do.
Yeah, where did God go? I mean, right. what's God doing? Well, God's doing stuff, you know.
Right.
But we want it to be as though God suddenly woke up and the Spirit of God began to move in ways that we can't even imagine.
Yeah, and I heard a friend of mine, we were talking, maybe it was a week ago or so, and he was saying, I'm just wanting to see God move in my church. And I think so many times that we think of God moving in supernatural ways versus in incredibly natural...
Normal ways.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And he is supernatural. He does do the supernatural. I mean, anytime someone becomes a Christian, that is supernatural work.
Well, and if complacent, apathetic Christians become suddenly interested and stirred, that's a work of the Spirit. So, and that's what we're asking. So maybe we could say to those who are listening, make it your prayer that the Spirit of God would move, much like the Reformation.
Right.
It was dark. They called it the Dark Ages, for heaven's right. sake, because it was spiritually dark. It was horribly dark. And then it didn't happen all at once, but it happened and gradually saw the church wake up and men wake up and the truth burst forth like it never had before.
Well, and I think, and I don't remember what verse this is, but I think it also says, for he established it, meaning God established it. Okay, and I don't know what verse.
It's verse 5.
Verse 5, okay. And he established everything. So we can teach it, but God is the one who's established
yeah.
everything. I mean, we're just teaching
testimony.
What he's already established.
Exactly, yeah.
It's already true. It's not true because we say it.
Right. We're not making it true.
No, we're just the vessels. And it is amazing how God works through human beings. I mentioned a while ago, Paul writing to Timothy in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. He gets to the end of that passage there, and he's talking, and he says, so that you may... persevere to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not meaning anybody's going to lose their salvation. What he's saying is that it will reveal who people really are.
Yeah, and perseverance doesn't just happen.
Right.
I mean, it happens by the work of God.
Right.
And as we continuously pursue the things that God is causing us to pursue.
And we're a part of that.
Yeah.
And we're a part of that.
Yeah.
But we cannot lose our trust in the work of the Trinity in regards to the Spirit. You know,
mm-hmm.
the Father and the Son, but the Trinity is the one that woos people and brings people in. We'll bring our children in.
Yeah.
You know, we'll bring our young people in that we're so burdened for.
This is my prayer, you know, and I trust your prayer, Micah's prayer, our prayer, and the church's prayer. If we could just get people to start saying, God, have mercy on us.
Right.
Deliver us from our complacency. Deliver us from our apathy. Deliver us from ourselves and do a work that no one could explain any other way.
So we've seen the heart change. We seem to need to communicate that truth. And then we need to see ultimately the Spirit of God moves. But the ultimate, what we're looking for, is that a new generation of hearts for God.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And in Psalm 78 it says, even to the children which should be born.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This idea that we're looking long term here. We have
yeah.
no idea when God's going to come back.
Exactly.
And as far as we know, he may not come back for another 1,000 years.
And
that
know.
Would just be a day in his eyes. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying? So
that's
it's
exactly right.
You know, it's not that's not the issue. We are eternally focused, but we're also
and faithful
in the here and now.
Yeah, that's
and which will produce eternal reward.
Yeah.
And I mean we're in some sense we're living in the eternity right now. I mean
well,
we're just going to go from
well, says one
this present
our,
body to the to
right.
The,
it says
our
one preacher
body.
I said her we live in the eternal now.
Right.
And it is that. It is that. But we want. We want the next generation not to be as their forefathers. We want
right.
them to know God, to seek God, to have a heart for God. We want to see a new generation of people who love Jesus.
So we have hearts that are changed, truth that is communicated, the Spirit of God moves and then produces a new generation of hearts for God. And this is what we want to see. This is our focus as we move forward in this year of Crosstalk. And mm-hmm. we're going to look at many different things, have many different ideas and things that we want to pursue. But this kind of encapsulates everything. So thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.